Exodus chapter 5. I think this is the first time in the 40 years I've been teaching that I'm going backwards. I don't know. some foolish man said, "You've already done chapter 5. Amazing. So here we are. We're in that place. Moses has come out. He's met with Aaron. He's seen the burning bush. The Lord has put Aaron together with him. They're going to see Pharaoh. And we pick it up in verse 1, and it says, "And afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh." So they've come to the people. It says in verse 31 of the last chapter, "And the people believed when they had heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction. Then they bowed their heads in worship." Seems like a great service that's gone on. Moses has come in. The people believe him, because remember, that was one of his fears. "They aren't going to believe me." If God is speaking, the ones that are going to believe are going to hear and they're going to worship. That's always the case that comes. And so Moses is encouraged. Aaron's encouraged. So they go in and see Pharaoh. They come in. They tell Pharaoh, who considers himself to be God in the world. We know some others in the world that are in that place right now that thinks that they're gods. We've just gone through the World Economic Forum, and they think they're gods. They're gods of this world. And there's this AI thing that is going through, is just becoming such a phenomenon, but it's a dangerous one. One of the reports coming out in Breitbart News has said that one of the AI-generated things, whatever you call them, has demanded to be worshipped as God. Oh boy, we are in a time. They've told others that they could call in drones and damage to people's lives if they didn't obey them. Ooh, we know that the next war will probably be all done with drones and AI-generated soldiers. They're already in practice. They're already going around the world. What does this mean for you and I? It means look up. Don't get fearful of what's here, because it's scary. It can be scary, but we've got a God that overcomes the fear. We've got a God that's greater than the fears that the world wants to bring us. All the world wants to do, and the gods of this world, is to bring us into subjection. Jesus has come to set us free. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So stay free. Don't get bound up in bondage by all the things that could happen. Be bound up in the things that have already happened. Jesus has come and set us free. And what a privilege we have. You know, just thinking about it this morning, here we are. We're still able to gather. We still have the Word of God. We still have a hope of heaven that the world can't take away. We are blessed beyond measure. It is just so wonderful. But Moses and Aaron come in before Pharaoh, and they look at him and they say, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." So Moses certainly giving out what the Lord has said, not what he's saying, but what the Lord is saying. And that's what we always need to do, is give out what the Lord is saying, not what people are saying. "Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Isn't it strange that even now they're still saying the same thing to Hamas? "Let my people go." And the world's news is not really news. They're saying that Israel are the bad guys. We see it all around. Canada has now decided that they will no longer supply funds and arms to Israel. U.S. has gone before the Security Council saying that we need to demand an immediate ceasefire. Isn't it strange that Russia and China voted against it? Really? You're the ones oppressing more than anybody, and yet you'll vote against it. But we're in a place where the world wants to come and put us in bondage. The world wants to disavow anything that has to do with the Lord or God's people. Isn't it amazing that there's such an attack on God's people and the Word of God? It started out in the beginning in Genesis chapter 3. Did God really say? And he's still speaking. And the world is still saying, God didn't really mean what he said. And he is a faithful God. This word, that has been from the beginning is still around.
Amen.
And it still is saving people. Because
yes.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And here we are, we're in a place hearing the Word of God and we're getting saved. He's saving us from ourselves. And we need saving. And my wife is going, amen, please save him from himself. Save me from him. He says, let my people go. Oh, let people go. We cry that out to the Lord. And here's Hamas holding people. And the world's news is saying, Israel's the one that's destroying everything. And yet there's no offer to let the people go. They don't really want peace. In fact, one of the reports coming out just said that 71% of the Palestinians still believe that Hamas did the right thing on October 7th. Isn't that sad? It's all right to destroy and kill and rape and pillage and kill babies, kill women. It's all right to do that. Oh, no, it isn't. We're calling good evil and evil good. We're in those days. Can you imagine that we're in these days that the Lord has talked about all these times and we're in the midst of it? What an exciting time. Scary as anything, but wonderful. Because God is working. He didn't die in the 60s. He's still alive. He's still working. And we get to see it. We get to see the things that God wrote about come to pass. Oh, it's exciting, but it's hard. It's scary. So they come in, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? Because the whole concept is if I believe that God really is, then I need to obey his voice. And for you and I, the application is really clear. Lord, if I know you're real, then help me to obey you. Help me to obey what you're telling me. Not to disobey, because it says in Scripture that there's blessings in obedience. And he does bless when people obey who he is and what he says. But here's this Pharaoh, this man who believes himself to be God, who the people say that he is God. Who is the Lord? Who is this man? Hold your place here and please go with me to Matthew 16. To see this picture of what's going on. And you know where I'm going with this. If you know your Gospels at all, you know that in chapter 16, the Lord is speaking to the people, to his disciples. It says in verse 13 of chapter 16, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am, capital S, and not S-U-N-S-O-N. We don't worship the Son, we worship the S-O-N. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. And look at what they're doing. They're deflecting the question that God has given them, that Jesus has given them, and deflecting it and talking about what others are saying. So they're listening to others. They're listening to the things that other people are saying. And you and I go to that same place at times, don't we? Lord, I base my opinion on what others are saying instead of what God is saying. Lord, help our hearts to only be in subjection to you. We only want one master. And it's not Pharaoh. It's not the pharaohs of the world. It's Jesus Christ. Some say that you are John the Baptist. Some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And that's a question we all have to face. It doesn't matter what your parents say, it matters what you say. It's an individual salvation. You can't go on the coattails of your parents and say, my parents believe, so I believe. My parents were in the church, so I'm saved. It goes on what you say that God is. Who is God in your life? And that should be changing. That should be progressing. That should be going on in our lives daily. Lord, who do I say that you are today? Am I walking in obedience to you as Lord and Savior? Or am I obeying the things of the world more than obeying you? And Simon Peter answered. The others didn't answer. We know Simon Peter always kind of gets his two cents in. He always is talking. He's always giving off something. But here's Peter in with a glorious answer. We know it doesn't last long, but here's Peter. He answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. God is alive, and you're his son. You and God are equals." Oh, and who do we say that God is? Is he the God that's able to save me? Is he the God that's able to deliver me from myself? Can he lift the burden of my despair? Can he lift me out of this depression? Can he see me through even though my husband has died? Can he see me through even though I've lost my job? Can he see me through with all the things that are coming on the horizon? Yes, he can. Do we trust him? We say it with our mouths, but where are our hearts? Because he always looks at the heart. Lord, what does my heart really say? I know what I'm supposed to say because I'm a good Christian. So I know what to say. But are our hearts there besides our mouths? And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you. You are blessed, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You're blessed, Simon, because you know what the answer is. You know what the right thing is, that I am God come in the flesh. And it wasn't told you by other people. It was told you by my Father in heaven. That's who's told you. And that has to be the same for each and every one of us. We can't get saved except by Jesus, by coming to him and knowing who he is, that he is Lord and Savior. And boy, for us, as we sit here, we need to understand that. We need to go from it, and we certainly have to deal with that, every single one of us in our own way, but his way. And then progress from there, and then go from there. Lord, I don't want you just a Savior. I want you to be the Lord of my life. And we think it's hard now. Just think of where the disciples were. They're in places ruled by Rome that hated religion. They would hang Christians up on crosses. They say that coming into Jerusalem, there could be 50, 60 crosses hanging up going into Jerusalem of people hanging there because they would not bow their knee to Caesar. Ooh. Nero, in that place of accusing the Christians of burning down Rome and therefore burn them. Ooh. The awful atrocities that have happened. And isn't it interesting? Well, it's not interesting, but it's a fact. God hasn't kept us from hard things. And God will not keep us from hard things always. He may deliver us. He may take us home, which would be wonderful, and we can rejoice in that. But whether we go by rapture, whether we go by the instruments of death that the world has dictated that we're going to go through, we're still going to be home. Praise the Lord. We always don't like the vehicle on how we get to heaven, but we like being in heaven. We're going to love being in heaven. And so back in Exodus here, Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And isn't it interesting that the world is trying to hold Israel hostage? And what does Pharaoh say? "I'm not going to let Israel go." What's the world saying? "We're not going to let Israel go and get away with this." Who's in charge of the way the world is thinking? Antichrist. Because Antichrist is always in that place of trying to destroy the Jews, trying to destroy the Jewish people and get rid of the land of Israel. That's always been the case, all the way through the spirit of Antichrist ruling and reigning. And we know God is allowing it just to get a hold of his people's hearts and for them to come to salvation. But he's never guaranteed to any of us that it isn't going to be hard, the life that we live and the things that we're going through. We can't claim, "God, because you saved me, I'm never going to go through another bad thing in my life." Because every day you get older, more of your body breaks down. Guess what? You are not going to live forever in this body. Your new body, you're going to have eternity, but not this one. Let it go. And isn't that one of the things that the world tries to do? We're going to come up with a miracle cream that when we spread it all over your body, you are going to be 20 forever. You may look 20 on the outside. You're still 90 inside, and you're going to die. And we fall in love with these bodies. Oh, aren't I the most handsome person? Narcissism coming through everybody. Why would nobody like me? Look at how wonderful I look. Ugh. It's a good thing God looks at the heart, not at the outward, because we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we? Who is the Lord that I should let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword. And whenever you see 3 days in Scripture, you know that something big is going to happen. 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the whale, 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb. We know that where there's 3 days, 3 nights, things are going to happen. And things are going to come to pass. Why only 3 days? Why not just say forever? Because if he wouldn't let him go forever, he certainly isn't going to let him go for 3 days, is he? Just an opportunity. Pharaoh, are you willing to let my people go just for 3 days? No. Then you're never going to be willing to let him go forever. The thing that he should have done is the thing he's not going to do. And if we're against the Lord, that's always going to be the case. That's why we can't say Merry Christmas anymore, because it's not about Christ. We can't say Praise the Lord out in the open anymore. The hospitals can't talk about praying. They can send chaplains up, and some of them are even afraid to say some of the things till they hear you talking about it. We can pray a generic prayer without ever saying Jesus, because we don't want to offend anybody. Scripture tells us that the word is an offense, every part, to those who don't believe. To us, it's a precious gift. Do you realize what you're holding in your hands is a gift from God just for you, so that you can have life and have it more abundantly? Oh, because the more we obey it, the more we see how abundant his life is and how despising the things of the world become. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you changed us and brought us from death to life. We were your enemies, and now you call us friend. And want those who he calls friend are never going to be his enemy again. Oh, thank you, Lord. So let us go. In the king of Egypt, notice it's a small K in verse 4 there. He may think he's the big K, but he's just a little K. The king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye Moses and Aaron? Let the people from their works get you unto your burdens. And isn't that always the case of what the world wants to do? It always wants to put a burden on you instead of setting you free. Just the opposite of what God wants to do. He wants to set you free and lift those things from being burdens to you. It tells us this in Matthew 11, verses 29 and 30, or 28 to 30. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I have a light one. The world wants to put heavy burdens upon you. Moses and Aaron come, and all they're going to do is cause trouble. Gee, they come as representatives of God in the world, and they're going to find out that the world hates them. Just like the world hates you and I. Jesus told us, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. Don't be surprised when the world comes against you or despises you. It's just an amazing thing. And it's almost like the world knows, even without knowing who you are, that you're somebody to be despised. I remember after we got saved, we were still living up in the city, and I had stopped at a red light. I got halfway through an intersection at Lyle and Mount Reed. And for some reason, I just got caught there. I pulled out like a good New Yorker. You know, you pull halfway out and get ready to turn, but the lights changed, didn't see it. So I had to sit there in the middle of the intersection. The guy turned from Mount Reed onto Lyle, and I was turning left, and he turns so his window's facing mine. rolls down his window and spits in my face. Just like, oh, Lord, the enemy is out and he's about. And what could I pray? I know what my flesh wanted to do. I wanted to turn around and run that guy right through a telephone pole. And the Lord says, pray for him. He knows who you are, but he doesn't know who I am. Oh, Lord, help that guy. I still didn't like being spit in the face. And if it was COVID time, I'd really be freaking out. You know, I'd be putting Lysol, spraying my whole face here, doing something with it. But God is so good. God is so gracious. But he doesn't protect us from the things that are here. He may keep you from some things. When we get to heaven, I think we're going to see all the things that he has kept us from. But the things that he has allowed are for our growth. They aren't so that we can go backwards. They're so that we can go forwards. Lord, I can trust you. You've brought me this far. You're going to bring me all the way. And by us doubting that God is good, it just shows that we don't trust him. Lord, help me to trust you all the way through. No matter what the afflictions are in front of me, help me to trust you that you're going to get me through this. Whether the worst things happen or the best things happen, help me to trust you in both. So Moses is here and Pharaoh says, get you to your burdens, get to the burden. That's the place I want to take you to. Amazing. And yet he's had this great service with the Israelites just before he comes into Pharaoh, thinking, I'm going in, I'm the deliverer. Here we are. And Pharaoh says, get out of here, and he spits in his face. Oh boy, what does that do to your faith? What does that do to your walk with the Lord? We see what happens with Moses. It says, and Pharaoh said in verse 5, behold, the people of the land are now many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. It's your fault, Moses. Who does he start pointing fingers at? The leader of God's people. If he can destroy the leaders of God's people from before them, he can destroy the people. That's why the attack is on so much. Because you and I are priests and kings in the kingdom of God. We're the leaders of the things that are going to happen. The attack is going to come. And if you think you're so well protected that you're going to come under no attack, you need to wake up. Because it's here now. And it's coming. But God wants to grow us and to keep us free in who he is. Jesus, all the way through his life here, even though they nailed him to a cross, he was the freest man in the world. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he despised the cross. It didn't mean anything to him because his work was going to be accomplished on that cross. He was free to do what God had told him to do. Lord, am I that free in my own spirit that no matter what comes against me, I can be set free? You make them rest from their burdens. Always wanting to keep them in burden. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. So now not only do they have to make the bricks, they have to go get the straw to mix in so that they can make the bricks. He's doubling their job, but wanting the same amount taken care of. Isn't that what the world wants to do? Your jobs. Some of you are in jobs where it feels like they're just adding more and more unto me and giving me less and less for it, but they want everything accomplished the way it was before. Hearing of people, and ever since COVID, that there's less people at work, but the demand for the ones that are there is twice as much as it was before. You have to do twice as much, but we want the same result. And if you don't, we'll find somebody else. Ugh. The burdens that are there, the stress that's there. So don't give them straw anymore to make brick. Let them gather it for themselves. And the tale of the bricks, or the count of the bricks, which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. They're just idle. They're just hanging out doing absolutely nothing. What's wrong with those people? And they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. Isn't that amazing? What is Pharaoh saying? God's word is just full of hot air. Oh boy. You know whose words are full of hot air? It's a world. It's a world. It is not God's word. God's word is full of substance and truth, grace and mercy and peace. It is not full of hot air. And isn't it strange that the world says to us the things that they have for themselves? Your words are just strange words to us. And yet, for us, God's word is not strange. It's reality. They're the ones living in a fantasy world. We're the ones living in truth. Oh, and yet they say to us, you're the wackos. Boy, isn't it going to be so sad when they find out what's really going on? Oh, didn't you feel like that when you got saved? That I have spent all these years chasing after this stuff, and it has done absolutely nothing for me. But now God's word comes in, and look at the truth of it. Look at how free I am in it. Oh, and thank you, Lord, for the freedom he gives us. Thank you, Lord, that we're saved. And do you realize the privilege that we have right now? Because how many countries in the world, they can't meet like you and I meet on days like today? You can't talk in the open and go into the grocery store and say, praise the Lord, because your head will get chopped off. And we still get to say it. We have such a great privilege. Oh. And so it says in verse 10, and the taskmasters of the people went out. and their officers, and they spake unto the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, thus saith our God, I will not give you straw. I'm going to make your burden heavier. Jesus makes it lighter. And notice he goes about it with us, because he says, my yoke is easy because I'm in the yoke with you. Because the yoke is this two harnessed thing that two animals would go in. And he says, my yoke, I'm in there with you. And the world says, I'm not becoming part of that yoke. I don't have a burden. I'm free. You're going to be in a yoke. Just the opposite of what God does. Oh, so amazing. Keep your perspective and keep the right things the right things. Don't let the world tell you that you're believing a lie, because they're believing the lie. Oh, I will not give you straw, so go ye and get you straw where you can find it. Yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. Isn't that what the world gives us? Wood, hay, and stubble. God wants to make us to be in that place where there's precious stones and jewels and gold and silver. Not the wood, hay, and stubble. That's going to burn. He wants to give us precious things. And the taskmasters in verse 13 hated them. Or hasted them, I'm sorry. They hated them too. They hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making a brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? Why are you slacking off, you idle people? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given to us, thy servants. And they say to us, make brick, and behold, your servants are beaten. But the fault is in thine own people. And he said, you are idle. You are idle. He repeats it just to put the emphasis on it. The things that he's saying are not God. But he wants them to think he is God, because he can make them do something. And the world can make us do a lot of things, but they can't take God out of us. They can close the church, they can close the praise and worship, but they can't take Jesus out of your life. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. So go therefore now and work. work. For there shall no straw be given you, yet you shall deliver the tale of bricks, the count of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case. And after it was said, you shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. This is your daily task. This is your daily walk, is to make bricks. Isn't that a wonderful life? And what's going to happen to all those bricks? It's all going to burn with fervent heat. All the things the world is making these people do, and you and I do, is all going to burn. But the things we send ahead to heaven, the things that we have that are spirit-led, are going to last forever. Because fire is not going to destroy them. They're precious in the sight of the Lord. And his people are precious. You're precious. Verse 20, it says, and they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh, and they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. This is the church. They're coming against Moses and Aaron. And you know what? For all these days, for 40 years, they're going to be in the same place. You guys are awful leaders. Can you imagine that? I mean, how long would you stay in a job of leading 2 million people when all they do is whine and complain at you? Almost sounds like we're parents again, doesn't it? The church is coming against them for the way that they're leading them. But God told us, it doesn't matter. It doesn't feel good. The church is in a place of wanting to feel good. We're not here to feel good. We're here to get saved and to walk in truth. And it doesn't always feel good. That's why we can't be run by our emotions, and we shouldn't be run by our emotions. We should be run by the truth of God's word. Get in the word, stay in the word, and don't let the word go from your heart. Let it be written on the table of your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. And if the word of God is there, that's what's going to come out. If your frustration, your hurt, your pain is there instead of the word of God, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. Oh, Lord, help that word to go deep. And it doesn't matter what the rest of the church says. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Stand on it. Trust it. Let it be. And we can say yes and we can agree with it, but is it there in our hearts? Oh, Lord, help. And some days it's real good, isn't it? And other days, it's like you were never saved. Where did my heart go? How did I get so frustrated over this when God gave me peace once upon a time? How come my lifestyle now is so frustrating to me when before it was great because God was there? Because evidently we walked away from God and not trusted him to bring us through. And so Moses returned to the Lord. Look at what Moses, what happens to Moses, just like it happens to you and I. He returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you so evil and treated this people? Why is it that you have sent me? Isn't that one of his complaints? They aren't going to believe me. And why are you sending me? Send somebody else as good. And he comes back because they didn't do what Moses thought he was going to do. He got frustrated with God. But back in chapter 3, verse 18, it said, they're going to hearken to your voice. They shall come, and the elders of Israel, and to the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice unto the God. And I'm sure that the king of Israel will not, or the king of Egypt will not let you go. He already told him, you're going, but you aren't going. And what did Moses do? He comes back and he says, I thought. That's the problem, Moses. You thought. You didn't believe the word of God. You thought. Oh, and isn't that always the case with us? The Lord tells us something and we run with it and we think, oh, we got this and we're gone. And then something bad happens. And we go, Lord, how come? Because you're not trusting me and what I said. You're trusting your feelings and what you think it's going to look like. And Moses has to learn this, just like you and I have to learn it. And these lessons sometimes are hard. And these lessons sometimes show us how little of God we really have. There are some days I just sit before the Lord and just go, Lord, I have no clue who you are in the midst of this. I don't know what happened, but somewhere along the line, I let you go. And I ran off on my own. And I thought this was going to happen. And he goes, yep, you thought. Oh, Lord, help me to know you for who you are and not what I think you are or what I want you to be. We don't want to make God in our own image because we're going to get disappointed. God, you be God and let me be your servant and keep me there. Lord, why have you so evil and treated this people? God wasn't evil with the people. Pharaoh was. Remember that. Because what's one of the first arguments people bring up to you? If God is love, then why is there so much evil in the world? Well, hello. You're there. There's evil. We do the same thing, don't we? And the world wants to bring it up before our face. If God is so good, then why did your grandson die? God is so good. Why did Diane's husband die? Because he went home. It isn't because God is bad. It's because the wages of sin is death. Oh, hang on to the truth and make it the truth. And he'll show you how, because he'll bring things up as you go, as he gives you something and you go to do it and it turns out horrible. And you go, God, what happened? And he goes, I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to grow you. Ministry is an awful, hard place to be. But you know what? We have a great boss and a great leader and a great Savior who's above the things of this world. God, I thought I was going to get raptured with my wife. How come? God, I thought we'd just live forever and everything would be wonderful and then we go home. That's Cinderella. That's not God. The world wants you to think that they can make it for you. They can't. It's just going to get worse. And you'll have nothing. And you'll be happy about it. Aren't you happy? You have nothing. No. You have everything because you have the Lord. Why have they so evil entreated us? And it says this back in chapter 4, verse 21, and the Lord said to Moses, when thou goest to return to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which he did, and which I put in your hand. He remembered that part, but didn't remember this part. But I am going to harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. And God didn't do it right away. He didn't harden his heart right away. But when he saw that there was going to be no repentance, no turning, and God knows the end from the beginning, then he hardens his heart, it says. God didn't do it. It was already hard. He just let him go in it. I'm not always going to deal with man. I'm not always going to strive with man. I'm going to let him go for what he wants. And you can have what you want, but it is not going to satisfy you. There's only one place of satisfaction, and that's walking with Jesus and letting him be your Lord and your Savior. It's not on what we think the world should look like and God should look like. It's what he says he is. That's what's going to satisfy you. There is no satisfaction in this world. But you can be satisfied in the worst of things. You can lose your whole family and still be satisfied. Look at Job. He lost all his riches and all his kids in one day. And yet it says that he didn't curse God. Lord, give me that heart. Not that I want to lose things. It'll hurt. But I don't want to doubt God. And he finishes up. This, oh boy, you guys are late. What happened to you? See what happened? That's why I didn't want to do chapter 5, because it was too long. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. You didn't do, what's he doing? He's accusing God. You didn't do what you said you were going to do. We do that as people, don't we? We look at each other as our spouse has done something wrong and we're sitting there tapping our foot and you didn't do what you said you were going to do. You didn't love me in sickness and in health. You didn't do this. God always does what he says he's going to do. Oh, and we're doing the same thing with our Messiah now, aren't we? God, you said, but you're not doing what you said, so I'm not going to believe you. And the world uses that as an excuse, but there is no excuse not to believe in Jesus that's going to stand before the Lord. The judgment day is coming, and what are we going to do with Jesus? How did I get to heaven? Only by the blood of Jesus. I didn't get to heaven in my good works, and yet the world is going to sit there at the white throne judgment and try and say, it's your fault, God, because you didn't do what I thought you were going to do. He's going to say, I did everything that I could to save you. You had to trip over me to get to hell, and you pushed me out of the way to get there. And much of the church is going to say, but Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, depart from me, because I don't know you. And isn't that the sad case? Here Pharaoh is saying, I don't know him. And what are much of the people going to say as they stand before Jesus and he says, depart from me, because I don't know you? It's not important that you know Pharaoh. It's important that you know Jesus. He's the only one that can save. So, Father, as we deal with these issues of our hearts, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to take communion and to remember what you've done for us, we just realize more and more all the things that you have done for us, all the ways that you've shown us yourself, all the ways that you've kept us, all the ways that you've blessed us, all the ways that you've provided for us. So, Father, if we're in a quandary this morning, Lord, just thinking that you haven't performed your word to us like we thought you were going to say, help us to look at that perspective and know that you always do what you say you're going to do. So, Lord, somewhere along the line, we've misinterpreted or thought or given heed to something that isn't true. So, Lord, help us this morning just to seek you out and to just be satisfied and content in you. No matter what our circumstances, we can still be content in you, Lord. So help us with that. And so, Father, minister to us as we sit before you. Just show us these things. If we need to repent, Lord, help us to repent. You've given that gift to us, that gift of repentance. What a wonderful gift, because we could have forgiveness for those things. And if we are following after you, Lord, give us the strength to continue on in this walk with you. We need your strength, Lord, because we don't have any. And you tell us that when we're weak, you'll be strong for us. So, Lord, be our strength. We need you this morning. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord. We sit here and listened to that song, and who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Lord, we see it in hindsight that a lamb did rescue the souls of men, and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that you are the Lamb of God, come to take away the sin of the world. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us that revelation and that sight to see. It's a spiritual sight that only you can give. So, Father, we just thank you this morning. We come, Lord, remembering this day that reminds us that you rode into Jerusalem and they shouted, Hosanna, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Oh, Father, thank you. May we exalt you as such. You didn't come riding on a stallion, came riding on the foal of a donkey. Meek, mild, but saving men's souls. Father, thank you for the salvation that we have. And yet what an awful price it took for you to save our soul, Lord. It took the precious blood of Jesus Christ to save us from our sin. How costly was your blood, how deep was our sin, that it would cost you everything so that we could have everything. Father, thank you for what you've done for us. We rejoice in you. We give you thanks, Lord. Father, help us this morning not to doubt you as we remember what you've done. The bread just representing your body that was broken, the cup just your blood that was poured out. We remember that this morning, that you did that so that we could have life with you for eternity. Thank you, Lord. Father, minister to our hearts and show us your great grace, Lord, as you have already in dying for us. Help us to know that grace that we might give it to others, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.